Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of God for our consideration this evening is taken from the 11th chapter of Isaiah, which has already been read. I've often wondered if, when God was creating all this, I have often wondered if he created some things, maybe all things, to help us understand things. Things that involve him. Things that involve us. Like when the second person of the Trinity was creating the grape plant, did he have in mind that when he came to earth, he would use that grape plant to talk about our dependence on him? It's in John 15, where he talks about how we need to be attached to him like a branch is attached to the trunk in a grape tree. That's the part that goes into the ground to bear fruit, to be sure. The main purpose for creating the grape plant was so that we could have grapes, which are healthy and tasty, and if you ferment them, some people would say they're even better. But did he know when he invented the grape plant that he was going to use it to teach us? Broccoli. I don't know about you, but when I create a meal, I shoot for good and healthy ingredients that taste good. So like you can eat broccoli, which is good for you, but I don't. But if you make it into a nice broccoli soup or broccoli salad, I like broccoli. And when you create space in a room, probably you put this here for a reason, or two, or three. The dining room table is especially multi-purpose. I can use it for the laundry, spread my work out, and maybe eat off of it. And if you think about what goes on with every stroke, particularly the valves of an internal combustion engine, it's a modern marvel. A lot going on there, and that's old technology. And when God created trees, God created some trees that when you cut it down, it's gone. It's dead. It's not coming back. Those tend to be slow-growing trees, oak, maple, fir, pine. Other trees, you cut it down, and it's alive. Those tend to be fast-growing trees, willow, cottonwood, elm, poplar. I planted 20 poplar trees in the front yard out of the farm, my doomsday preparation. Cut it down for firewood, and then it grows back in multiple stumps, multiple trees. And I don't know whether or not God had that in mind when he created trees. Here, Isaiah is probably talking about an olive tree or a willow tree, or whether he made it up on the fly that he was going to talk about stumps and roots. But when he says that a branch will come out of a stump, his hearers were familiar, so are we. And when he talks about a shoot coming out of the root, my father called it volunteer corn, they were familiar, we are familiar as well. So we know what he's talking about. But before that branch happens, that branch that comes out, the current tree needs to be cut down. Before that shoot happens that he talks about here, the current plant has to be cut off. Speaking of trees, which Isaiah does a lot of, he says right before this that God has been wielding an axe on the Assyrians. The mighty Assyrians have swept through Israel, conquering, pillaging everything in their path. And as a matter of policy, the Assyrians practiced genocide. That means to exterminate a group of people and their culture. Why do you do that? We may have talked about that before. If you genocide those people, they aren't going to bother you anymore. It would be like an invading army defeating Canada and then importing people from all over the world into Canada and exporting Canadians all over the world. The purpose would be to eliminate Canadians and the Canadian culture. And I think they do have a culture up there. not sure quite what it is, but they do have a culture up there. That's what Assyria had done to Israel in the north. And now Judah in the south seemed to be at their mercy. Right before this, God has used Isaiah's mouth to say to Judah these words, "Thus says the Lord of hosts." That means the God who fights for his people, the God of Sabaoth. "O my people who dwell in Zion, be not afraid of the Assyrians when they smite with the rod and lift up their staff against you like the Egyptians did. Do not be afraid. The God who fights for them is about to go axe man. Behold, the Lord of hosts, will lop the bow with terrifying powers. The great in height will be hewn down, and the lofty will be brought low. He will cut down the thickets of the forest with an axe, and Lebanon with its majestic trees will fall." And if you're Judah, listening to that, sounds good. Sounds good. God is going to take care of the Assyrian threat. That's good, because it sure looks bad. The Bible talks a lot about this period, and you may already know what happened to the Assyrian army encamped outside of Jerusalem and laying siege. But what's this about a branch coming out of the stump of Jesse? A shoot coming out of the root of Jesse? Aren't we Jesse? And doesn't the existing tree or plant have to be cut off before the branch and shoot? Does that mean that we are going to be cut down as well, like the Assyrians are being cut down? Of this branch, of this shoot, Isaiah says, "The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and fear of the Lord, and his delight was in the, shall be in the fear of the Lord." John the Baptizer baptized a lot of people. But there was that one man who was baptized by John at the Jordan, and the Spirit of the Lord, in the form of a dove, descended and rested upon that one man. You know how people make judgments about other people based on outward appearances, or maybe what you've heard about that person? Isaiah says of that branch, that root, "He shall not judge by what his eyes see, or decide by what his ears hear, but with righteousness he will judge the poor, and decide with equity for the afflicted of the earth." And when he speaks, this root, this branch, it will be absolute truth. He will not bear a sword, this branch, this shoot of Jesse, but with the breath of his lips, talking, with the breath of his lips, he will slay the wicked. Righteousness shall be the girdle of his waist, and faithfulness the girdle of his loins. And look at the animals. The animals will no more act like animals. The wolf will dwell with the lamb, and the leopard will lie down with the goat. That's not the way animals act. It's the way animals acted in paradise. The cow and the bear shall feed, and their young shall lie down together, and the lion will eat straw like an ox. And that's the way that animals acted in paradise, but it's not the way they act now. And the small child will play over the hole of the asp, and the large child will put his hand on the adder's den, and the child will not be harmed. And that's not the way animals act. It's kind of a jungle out there, you know? I mean, in any woods around here, it's kind of a jungle out there. Those groups who fight against cruelty to animals, that's a Christian thing, to care about cruelty to animals. And some of them may have taken it too far. Some of them may not even be Christians. And you wonder, do they not know what life is like for animals in the wild? It's a jungle out there. They eat each other, and sometimes they kill before eating. I think the function of the rabbit is to eat grass and feed other animals. Hawks, owls. And you can hear it out in the woods when the pack of coyotes caught some food and they're feasting. And all the chicken books say that if your chickens go into the woods, it's not coming out. If your chicken goes into the woods, it's not coming out. It's not. Fox, raccoon, skunk. I never saw a weasel out on the farm till we had birds. They must have sent an email. They got some birds over there. They had 6 guinea fowl. 2 of them made it to adulthood. And the neighbors are probably still talking about that one Sunday morning, 6 o'clock, gunshots from the pastor's house. There are bushes next to our front porch, and the pastor's wife came in and said there was a possum in the bushes. Oh, you mean that place where the birds spend a lot of time? Those bushes, there's a possum out there in those bushes. And then the gunshots sounded like 9mm. Looks like it's dead. No, it's plain. It's a jungle out there. And we're on the top, but it's a jungle out there. And if you don't believe that, watch Nat Geo Wild. It's a jungle out there. And that did not change with the coming of the branch, the shoot of Jesse, who was the father of David the king. Jesse is mentioned in the genealogy that begins Matthew's gospel. Boaz, the father of Obed by Ruth. Obed, the father of Jesse. And Jesse, the father of David the king. And David was the father of Solomon by the wife of Uriah, Bathsheba. The messianic branch, the shoot of the Christ, would come from the tribe of Judah, by the family of Jesse, David, and Solomon, who noted, King Solomon will be blessed, and the throne of David shall be established before the Lord forever. Forever. And that's a pretty long time, forever. And that's a messianic promise, we call that. And you know how we know that? Because no kingdom lasts forever. Ours is a couple hundred years old. The Brits talk about how they haven't been invaded successfully since 1066. Germans almost did that, but they didn't. And this country, I think we're okay. Don't know how long we'll be around. Queen isn't what she used to be. We'll see about them. And how many thrones fell after World War I? Germany, Austria, the Tsar in Russia, the Ottoman Empire, the Turks picked the wrong side, Germany. So 200 years, over, a little over 200 years. We'll see how much longer this goes on. Africa, seems like they're changing governments all the time. Those kingdoms don't last very long. The number of kingdoms that are going to last forever, just one. Yes, Judah, you are Jesse. Yes, Judah, you too are going to be cut down, and they were. For the same reason as their northern neighbors had been cut down, unfaithfulness, running after false god like a dog after a dog in heat, taken away by Babylon, who had replaced Assyria, their kingdom fell, they took them to Babylon. But they did not destroy them by genocide, but they were cut down. And after 70 years, Queen Esther, she was a Hebrew woman, Jewess, prevailed on her husband, the king, to allow her people to return home to Palestine. He granted permission, but not all, actually very few, of Judah left Babylon and returned home. Those who did return, Ezra and Nehemiah among them, rebuilt Jerusalem, rebuilt the temple, and their country was not noteworthy. They were not players at all, not like at the time of David and Solomon when they had been a force to be reckoned with. And maybe that was okay, because they weren't a threat to anyone. Yeah, world powers continued to use their country as the shortest path to warring with one another, like the Germans used Belgium as the shortest path to attack France twice in the last century. Some pillaging here, pillaging there, under subjection of this power, then that power, finally subjugated to and incorporated into the Roman Empire as the province of Judah. And it was out of that stump of Jesse that the messianic branch came forth. It was the root of Jesse that produced the Christ, who is named Jesus, because he saves his people from their sins. He talks about the kingdom, and he says the kingdom of heaven is among you. It is the one kingdom that does not have an expiration date, the one kingdom that will last forever, and you are part of that kingdom, and you are headed for heaven, which is not a jungle. So what happened to those Assyrians during the time of Isaiah encamped outside of Jerusalem, laying siege to the city? Well, Isaiah tells us the end of that story in chapter 37. He says, the angel of the Lord went forth and slew 185,000 in the camp of the Assyrians. And when men arose early in the morning, behold, these were all dead bodies. That's what happened to the Assyrian army. We have the Assyrians' actual chronicled all their victories, and then it stops. That tree descended from Jesse, that means Savior, has been quite fruitful. Isaiah said, in that day, the root of Jesse, he's talking about Jesus, will stand as a banner. People will see it, be drawn to it, to the peoples. Him shall the nations seek, and they do. And his dwelling shall be glorious, and they are. In that day, the Lord will extend his hand yet a second time to recover the remnant that is left from the people. And then Isaiah names, beginning with Assyria, which sounds familiar. Assyria will come in. Today, Assyrians and descendants of Assyrians are scattered mostly throughout the Middle East. They're in Syria, Turkey, Iraq, and the rest. And of all the peoples to convert to Christianity, the Assyrians were among the first. The first, but the church is shrinking there. The religion of violence, the one that spreads by means of violence. The Ottoman Empire, Turkey, was a caliphate, means that it was an area where there was no freedom of religion. All the people were compelled to join one religion or else. And I mentioned they allied themselves with the Axis, the Germans in World War I, famously and soundly defeated the Brits at Gallipoli, but lost the war and lost the caliphate. But while the world was distracted by World War I, they committed genocide against the Armenian Christians. They wanted to exterminate them as a people. It's more well known than it used to be. Well over a million Christians, maybe a couple million. Not so well known. There were only tens of thousands. The Assyrian Christians were also almost exterminated at that time. Yeah, those same Assyrians. So I wonder if when he created the mustard seed, I wonder if Jesus had in mind that parable that he was going to tell, the one where he says that the kingdom of God starts small, like a mustard seed, which is very small. But the kingdom of God grows from that seed into a much larger bush. It's borderline, some people would call it a tree. And it has become rather large then, this kingdom of God, hasn't it? from Jesus and a precious few followers to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth, by means of the spoken and preached word, the kingdom of God has become very large. There are Christians in America, lots of them, and in the Middle East, Asia, Africa, on every continent, and with the internet, it's hard not to have access to the word of God, and with that comes the kingdom of God. And then there's the hedge tree. Most of us have never seen a mustard tree or a mustard seed. I've seen a mustard seed, think Bochy's mustard. Most of us have probably seen a hedge tree. And the church is like a hedge tree. If you cut down that hedge tree, at least the ones that grow out of my place, if you don't put that orange stuff on it, or if you want to drill holes and put nitrogen fertilizer, cover it up, too much of a good thing, that'll kill it. Otherwise, it'll come up and there'll be many, many branches that come out of that one stump. And the church is kind of like that. The more you try to kill it, amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting.